This song is entitled Faith is Believing, and it's actually on a CD, the kids' CD that we listen to in our car a lot. And I was thinking that it might be appropriate on Mother's Day, because when I think about mothers and it just, you know, the importance of passing on a godly heritage to children, and because faith in God is what's going to get you through the storms of life. So we're going to sing about that today.
Faith is believing, even when we cannot see, that God is with us and His Spirit lives in me. Again, with God, nothing's impossible. Faith when I stand up, when I begin to fall, when I keep going, even though I've hit the wall, when things are tough, He gives me strength to carry on. With God, nothing's impossible. So I'll sing to the Lord as long as I live. I'll sing praise to my God while I'm alive. I will wait on the Lord as His Spirit works in me, and together we'll move mountains to the sea.
Faith is knowing that God sees all my hurts, and He won't waste it. He'll allow it to give birth to depth and compassion and a stirring in my soul. With God, nothing's impossible.
So I'll sing to the Lord as long as I live. I'll sing praise to my God while I'm alive. I will wait on the Lord as His Spirit works in me, and together we'll move mountains to the sea. So I'll sing to the Lord as long as I live. I'll sing praise to my God while I'm alive. And I will wait on the Lord as His Spirit works in me, and together we'll move mountains to the sea. And together we'll move mountains to the sea.
And together we'll move mountains to the sea.
Gathered up mid daily cares, and when she kneels before the Father, there the subject of her prayers. For she sees them ever changing,
and their eyes are filled with dreams. And when she kneels beside their beds at night, how close the future seems. The vision of a mother's heart is to share with her children the love only Jesus can give. The vision them all walking with God every day that they live.
Oh, a mother needs a vision. Yes, she needs to see beyond the daily round of household duties, for those days are swiftly gone.
All the years will seem like moments when she turns around to see. And will the ways that she has spent her time matter in eternity? She must fill their days with laughter. She must fill their eyes with love. She must fill their hearts and minds with the knowledge from above. It is the vision of a mother's heart to share with her children the love only Jesus can give. The vision of a mother's heart to see them all walking with God every day that they live. It's to see them all walking with God every day that they
live. Ladies. All right. It all began in 1907. Anna Jarvis began honoring the memory of her mother by wearing a single white carnation. It was her mother's favorite. She had a conviction that mothers should be honored all around the country, not just those that were dead, but those that were living as well. So in 1914, after several years of letter writing and public meetings, she convinced President Woodrow Wilson to declare the second Sunday in May a national holiday, the first Mother's Day. I'm glad that she did. And it is a special day in which we have to be reminded to honor our mothers, to thank them, and show the appreciation that we have for all of the countless things that they have done. There's a humorous listing of things that I came across I'd like to share with you real quick. Nine reasons that we owe our mothers. Nine lessons that we've learned from them. Again, humorous. My mother taught me the value of a clean house. Listen, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me the value of passionate prayer. You better pray that that'll come out of the carpet. My mother taught me logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going with me to the store. My mother taught me about consequences. You keep crying, and I'll give you something to really cry about. My mother taught me about hypocrisy. If I've told you once, I've told you a million times, don't exaggerate. My mother taught me the circle of life. I brought you into this world. I can take you out. Might have heard that before. My mother taught me about anticipation. Just you wait till we get home. My mother taught me about my roots. Shut that door behind you. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mother taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Oh, me. Well, you know, we have impact upon our children, and I hope that our children don't always turn out just like us, unless we are hard following the Lord Jesus Christ. We want them to turn out to be in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that in mind, I want us to look today at some examples of moms with good, godly character traits. And I've entitled the message, Glimpses of Godly Moms. Father, I pray that as we look into the message today, that you would help us to see the potential that we each have, both our moms that are here, all of us as parents, grandparents, and Lord, every one of us as a Christian as well, need to have these traits. But I pray, Lord, that we would see them in these moms that we'll look at this morning. Help us, Father, to see that they're not impossible standards that have been set, but Lord, that which is well attainable by your Spirit's help. And I pray, Father, that as we look today, that we would be encouraged as well as challenged. Father, that we would have a greater appreciation for the moms that we have. And Lord, you have put us in each home as you have seen fit. And I ask, Lord, that where we are, we would bloom for you in such a way that you would be glorified. Help us to be the Christians that we should be. Help us to have that desire. And Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to attain unto it for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This first woman I want you to look at is in Proverbs 31. You probably have heard quite a few messages on this virtuous woman that is listed here. And I'd like to approach it in a little different way today. And this woman in Proverbs 31 we'll begin reading there, just the verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? A woman of virtue there, a woman of inner beauty. I could preach an entire message just on that aspect. Matter of fact, when I first read that verse again this past week, my mind ran there to Peter's words, where he teaches about a woman that is to seek not just to have the outer beauty that is there, but to have the inner beauty of the heart. And if the inner beauty is there, that is what lasts. The outer beauty does not. We could have testimony after testimony of people that either in their own personal situation or in someone that they know, how that the looks of the outside changed quite a bit over the years. But the heart on the inside can remain the same beauty as one first meets. And so it's important that we cultivate that which is on the inside. But this woman here has an impressive resume. As you read down through verses 10 through 31, you find quite a few things that stack up that this lady was involved with. Now I'm going to read through some things that I came across here, and I'm going to say in advance, I have borrowed this, so do not take offense at me. Someone else wrote this, but they take note here of several things that are mentioned in this particular chapter. Number one, she makes all of her family's clothing, according to verse 21 there, when most women have trouble just buying clothes to keep up with their fast-growing children. You agree? She deals with real estate, verse 16, and sells clothing to merchants, verse 24, when most women can barely pull off a successful yard sale. And again, don't throw bricks. This is not mine. And we got a yard sale coming up this week. I'm sure some of you moms are going to do a great job with that. She never lets her candle go out at night, verse 18, when most mothers can't wait to turn off the lights and fall into bed. She imports food from afar, verse 14, when most mothers can't seem to keep the fridge stocked with enough milk to last the week. I've been there with our family. Matter of fact, our food bill cut in half when a couple of our boys went to school and college. And Number five, and don't forget, she is always exquisitely dressed in fine linen or silk, as it says there in verse 22, in purple. Most moms have just enough time to throw on something they hope will match in the daylight. But I'll remind you something. This mom had employees and handmaids to help her. Vicki told me years ago, said, "You get me some employees and handmaids, and I can do a lot of this stuff too." But there's something that I want you to see beyond these particular characteristics that are listed here. Because you can read something like this, and if you read that in its entirety there, you could come away saying, "Wow, this lady is too perfect. I can never get there. I can never be that." But I want to draw your attention, not to be blown away, but to understand this observation. What mom, what lady, what mom did Solomon have in mind when he penned these words? And I say to you, most likely it was his mom, Bathsheba. Now, you know the story of David and Bathsheba, and Bathsheba had a rocky start, to say the least, with King David. In adultery of the sin that was there, they agreed also in the cover-up that led to murder, which also was silenced in the sense that they went for almost a year before David and most likely Bathsheba at the same time repented of their sin and confessed it unto the Lord, and God forgave them of their sin. God restored them into a relationship there. You remember God judged them first. The child that was born in that union there from the adultery died. God took that child's life as part of the judgment that was there. But when they repented of their sin and confessed it genuinely unto the Lord, God forgave them of their sin, restored them in their walk with the Lord there, and in His grace and mercy gave them another child, Solomon. And here we have Solomon writing about his mom and these characteristics that he sees. And for a lady that had such a rocky start, we see a woman that God had helped to become a great example to many more to follow. So the characteristic that I want to bring your attention to that is seen in this first lady is repentance. Repentance is a change of mind, of direction, and it carries with it the idea and the understanding of confession, because we know that that was true. And so here, the first lady we see is a woman with a past. And her character trait is repentance with confession. The second lady that we see is a woman with no hope. Look with me at 1 Kings chapter 17. This lady, as we see here, is not one that is normally looked at on Mother's Day, but I believe that has a great example to our moms today, as well as to every one of us as believers today. And this was a woman with no hope. In 1 Kings 17, we have the account here where God told the prophet Elijah that he was to go unto Zarephath, and there he would find a widow woman that would take care of feeding him, providing for him there during this time of famine. And so he goes, and he comes here and finds this lady, this widow, and he says, "Would you fetch me some water?" And she agrees, and then as she starts to walk away, he says, "And while you're there, can you get me a cake of bread," in other words, a biscuit or so of bread here, "and bring it that I can eat." And notice what she says there. Let's pick up reading there in verse 12. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel," a little bit of flour, she says, "and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." In other words, she's saying, "I don't have enough to fix you this, you know, cake of bread there. All I've got is a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, and I'm going to put it together, and I'm going to make a little fire and fix this little tiny piece of bread here for my son and myself. We're going to eat it, divide it, and eat it and then we're going to die of starvation, because they didn't have anything else. And it was this famine that was going on. And so here, notice Elijah says in verse 13, "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Didn't this guy just listen to me? I said I didn't have enough for that. No, that's not what she said. That he told her, "I want you to go and I want you to make of the cake of bread first for me, and then I want you to make for you and your son, because," the next verse, "for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste," in other words, it will not run out, "neither shall the cruse of oil fail," it won't run out, "until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." Now here's what Elijah said. "You go and make for me like I said, and God has said that the flour in your container will not run out. Every time you reach in, you grab what you think is the last little bit, there's going to be more in there. Every time you take that little bit of oil and you pour it out to mix with the flour, you look back and there's still oil there. And that will continue until the day that God sent rain upon the earth." How many years did it go without rain? Over 3 years. And God provided. But notice what she said, what she did. Verse 15. "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house," that is her child, "did eat many days." God provided. Now, what do we see from this particular woman that was without hope? We see obedience to the Word of God. Before we see obedience to the Word of God, we see faith in the Word of God. Because there was faith, she believed that the Word from Elijah was the Word of God, and it was true, and that God would do what she could not understand possible, but she believed it, and we know she believed it because her actions followed. And so there was faith, and then there was obedience. So what we see from this woman that had no hope in her characteristics, that's an example to us, is having a faith in what God says in His Word and having that faith demonstrated by obedience. Moms, that is a great testimony to have. Faith to believe God and to step out in obedience. A woman with a past, repentance with confession. A woman with no hope, faith in God's Word and obedience to follow it up. And then last, I want to show you in 1 Timothy chapter 1, a woman with no help. A woman with no help. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Timothy was a young man that had come to the Lord as his Savior at a young age. And as the Apostle Paul had come through Derby, I believe it was there, he met Timothy, and he saw his heart desire to serve the Lord. And so he took Timothy along with him and began to mentor him and to, to make him into a young pastor that would be a great example to other men as well. But I want you to see about Timothy's mom. Her name was Eunice. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1 there, we are told of her. He's talking about Timothy here. He says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith," that unfeigned means genuine or sincere, "the genuine faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." Now, I want you to understand who Eunice is. Eunice is another example of a disappointment in their first start. We know that according to the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 16 and verse 1, we're told that Timothy had gotten saved, and his mother was Eunice, and his father was a Gentile. and we hear nothing else really mentioned about his dad. But we know that if Eunice, a Jewish woman, had married a Gentile in that day, her parents' hearts would have been broken. It was not a good thing to do. It would be like if you had a Christian daughter today, and she went out and started dating an unsaved guy and fell in love, and they wanted to get married, and you know this is against Scripture here of that union. You know and can understand the problems that can create immediately. And so you try to talk her out of it, but she can't see because she's in love. And love is what? Blind. And so she is blind to everything you're trying to say. All she can see is, you don't want me to be happy. And so that struggle goes on, and I say this because there have been many parents and children that have been in that situation. And sometimes it's not until weeks or months later that the blinds fall off and they say, who have I married? What was I thinking? And pride sometimes doesn't even let them go there. The message, maybe I should stop right here and say, could I say this to those of you that are not married out there? I would have you stand up, but just listen to me, okay? Understand that anybody that you date is a potential mate. Falling in love doesn't have a lot of barriers. When you fall in love with someone, you may not be thinking clearly about everything that may include. But when you're not on the same page spiritually, there are going to be problems. And we can look back to this particular union here, and we can say maybe her husband was a Gentile that had gotten saved. All right, let's give him a benefit of the doubt. But if he did, where was he now? Why wasn't he a part of this unfeigned faith? Why wasn't he a part of teaching Timothy the Word of God? We see a mom that's alone having to do it herself. And so the point is, whether he claimed to be a Christian and then turned out to be a dud, or whether he wasn't a Christian to begin with, he was a union that presented a great problem. And moms and dads, let me tell you something. You have a responsibility together to raise your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And you want to be, and you want to nourish your union as a marriage to be one that works together to that end. So if you are the dead weight there, mom or dad, then it's time to pick up the slack. God is saying to you today, if you're saved, get going with me. If you're not saved, you need to get it for yourself now. What a great time to do it today. Jesus Christ died for you, and He can forgive you. He can empower you. He can help you to do everything that you need to do as a parent. Looking back here, though, we see this particular woman with no help other than her mother. Fortunately, Tim's mom was not only a believer, but she was a genuine believer in the faith. A mother of genuine faith there in verse 5. Her faith was genuine, and her service, her faithfulness unto the Lord was genuine. So we see faith, we see faithfulness here that is exemplified. Look in a page over there to chapter 3. And Paul is speaking to Timothy here, and he warns him in verse 13 about evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse. In other words, the world and those that are around us are getting worse and worse. We would agree and recognize that. And They're deceiving, they're being deceived, etc. But he says unto him, these two young men, he says unto Timothy here, I want you to continue in the things that I have taught you, that you have learned, you've been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them. And when I read that initially, and yes, it is true, Paul had taught Timothy many things. And he says, the things that I've taught you, you turn around and teach to other faithful men who shall teach others also. But it is also referring, I believe, to his mom and to his grandmother, Lois. Because it goes on to say in verse 15, and that from a child thou have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And so from a child, his mother had been teaching him the scriptures. From a child, she had been putting into him this need to be faithful unto the Lord and to trust his word. And so when Paul then met Timothy, he saw a young man that was prepared to go the next step. What a blessing it was to her mom, I believe, to see her child following the Lord so closely. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth, John the Apostle said. Spiritual children he was talking about. But you know our own flesh and blood children that is true of as well. What a heartbreak for a parent to know that they have children who have walked away from the Lord, walk away from the things that they have been taught. And you know that they know different. But they're not doing. What a blessing for those that are. I pray for both. For those that have walked away, that they would see their error. For those that are walking with the Lord, that they would see their fragile position. Lest we fall, take heed. And then as a parent, we would be encouraged to see here that we would be an example of genuine faith and genuine faithfulness to others, including our children. And that's what I see here. Eunice, even in a home with an unbelieving husband, was an example of faith and of faithfulness. Mom, your children are looking up to you. I hope that you are looking up to God for the strength and guidance that you need. They are looking to you for that exampleship. A woman with a past was Bathsheba. Repentance and confession, we saw. A woman with no hope, their obedience to the Word of God. Faith because she believed God's Word and she obeyed it. And a woman with no hope, and yet she exemplified faith and faithfulness unto the Lord. They have taught us three characteristics of being a godly mom, and here they are. Number one, she teaches the Word of God to her children. Mom, that's important. Dad, your day is coming. She teaches the Word of God to her children. She models, number two, the Word of God for her children. Teaching without modeling, without exampleship, is hypocrisy. And hypocrisy builds resentment and rejection. One of the quickest ways that you can push your children away from God is being a hypocrite. So teach the Word of God, model the Word of God, and thirdly, a godly mother admits and confesses whenever she fails to obey the Word of God. If we fail, we need to admit it first to God. Repent and confess it. And then we need to go to our family and we need to admit it to them. Honey, what I did was wrong. I should not have responded that way. God has forgiven me. Will you forgive me? That takes a humbleness that is there. Let me tell you something that'll go far much further than pride that keeps you from admitting you're wrong. I've had to go to my children on several occasions and say the way I responded to what you did was wrong. Now, what you did was wrong. but the way I responded was incorrect as well. Will you forgive me? And so that is the example that we need to be here learning. We need to exemplify the truth. We need to be the truth, genuine faith, faithfulness before our family. And when we blow it, all we need to do is admit to God first, to our family second, that they can know our heart and want to be forgiven. Remember, moms, parents, grandparents, the days are long, but the years are short. Don't let time, the time of your influence, slip by. They'll go so fast, and then they're over. Every head bow, please.